1320 WILS, 1320 WILS.com. Rich Hurl here with you, filling in for the vacationing Michael Cohen. Let's go back out to the phone lines and talk with Anika Fascia. She is with the Michigan League for Human Services. Hi, Anika. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks so much for coming on to the program. An interesting story that the league released, an interesting report, rather, that the league released a week ago, and it kind of lost in the shuffle, I think, because of all the hype, if you will, before Governor Snyder released his budget proposal. But in the report, the league talks about how there has been a large increase in state spending in the corrections department, while some departments like education not getting enough investment. Talk about that report.
Yeah, so we've seen a 30% increase in the correction spending over the last 10 years, taking up about a quarter of the general fund budget, while we're seeing huge cuts to education. I mean, there was a 15% cut to, you know, higher education last year, and then K through 12 was experiencing lots of cuts. And so the rationale behind this is that if you take away economic security programming and residents' ability to be economically secure during the recession, you're going to have increases in crime and violence because you're taking away opportunity. And then, as we've seen in through the state of the state address, where Michigan is home to four of the most violent cities in the state, and then in a lot of those cities there's a lot of high unemployment, lack of opportunity, yet at the same time we're taking away programs that provide economic security for our residents.
Now, when you mention in the report, at the beginning of the report, you say investments in the public structures that could prevent incarceration have been cut. What do you mean by public structures aside from schools? Like what other what other facilities are you talking about other than schools?
I'm talking about public structures that improve the quality of life for all residents. So that's access to affordable health care, that's access to job and employment training, all of these public systems that provide opportunities for all residents in Michigan.
And you mentioned also Michigan is one of only two states that spend more on corrections than higher education. What is the other state? Do you know off the top of your head?
Vermont.
Okay. Very good. Now, how big is this connection between prison inmates and the education or lack thereof that they receive? Because according to the report, it sounds like there's a big connection between the two.
Yeah, so if we have children who are not able to read proficiently by third grade, they're more likely to start to, become less motivated and fall, off, the good grades, and therefore they're at risk for dropping out. And once you're at risk for dropping out, you're more likely to begin committing crimes. And then when you start beginning crimes, you're more likely to be incarcerated. So there's this P20 continuum here going on when we begin to disinvest in early education, taking away opportunities from the beginning. You can see that children become more and more at risk for poverty, for crime, and then thus for incarceration.
Now, those on the corrections side, officials, supporters of corrections, they might say that budget cuts would increase the threat level, if you will, inside the jail to the officers, perhaps less officers in the jail, and more chaos among the inmates as a result, and basically a threat to overall public safety, and that it might be a risky move taking money away or cutting funding from the corrections department. What's your response to that?
So we need a balanced approach. We do need to curb the cost of spending, but we also need to have increased revenues. And so we're at a time where revenues are at an all-time low, and so there's efficiencies needed abound. So we need efficiencies in the way that corrections systems are run, so corrections officers aren't put at risk. We don't want to be working corrections officers for these really long shifts and reducing ratios, but at the same time, we don't want to put kids at risk either. So it is a very sticky situation that we're in, and so we do need to find a balanced approach where we're addressing both situations at the same time.
Now, what are some of the cuts to opportunities for children that have led to these numbers that you make mention of?
So we've seen a huge reduction in the earned income tax credit. I mean, that was reduced by 70%, which allowed people to stay in, low-income jobs that are really important. So we're talking about waitresses, janitors, all these people who work for a really low wage but provide a very essential service to all people in Michigan, and at the end of the year, they were able to get a refund that would help them pay off, their rent or keep their car to get them to their job. And we saw that go from 20% of the federal income tax credit to 6%. That was a huge reduction. We put the caps on cash assistance, which kicked off, thousands and thousands of families off of cash assistance during a time where there aren't very many jobs. And so, I understand that we don't want to create a dependency and we want to limit the cash assistance that we're providing, but this is a time when people don't have anywhere else to go. They are not able to find jobs. They're not able to find living wage jobs. And so when we're taking away this opportunity, where are we leaving these people?
And specifically, what are some policy changes you feel could positively impact the children?
Positive? Are you asking for solutions?
Some solutions you think might help the children in this case.
So, restore the earned income tax credit. Support the Affordable Care Act that would, increase health care to their parents, to their families, to reinvest in the Family Independence Program, cash assistance, by not capping that program and kicking people off of cash assistance when they need the time for it, to really reinvest in education, restoring all those cuts that are overcrowding classrooms and making it hard for any student to learn in that environment.
And before we let you go, Anika, and we got about a minute left here, Governor Snyder late last week unveiling his budget proposal. How is the Michigan League for Human Services impacted by his spending plan?
We do support the increases in public safety. We support, putting more money into education, but we don't support, having it be like incentive based. So which community colleges are providing the degrees that will provide jobs? There's a blanket solution to very complex problems here where you're undermining schools that have a lot of barriers and we're trying to provide as best as they can with limited budgets. And so we need to really think about the approaches that we're coming to when we're not really providing funding, we're providing funding with, if you do X, Y, and Z. And so that's not really closing the gaps that we've seen in all these cuts in education.
Anika Fascia from the Michigan League for Human Services. Anika, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you.